So anyway, let the rain flow. Greet each other. For the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. And Peter wrote, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, how God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And we've been looking at life in three aspects. We started off with our physical life, going all the way back to when God created Adam and breathed into him the breath of life. And a lot of the provisions that God made for humanity, even in the physical life. But then we began going from there to the spiritual life, and Jesus began to introduce the kingdom of God and began to tell them about how one could not enter or couldn't even see the things of the kingdom unless he was born again. So we kind of went through the scriptures from the Gospel of John, and Jesus talked about being born again. And there was the beginning of man's spiritual experience, if you will, because otherwise we're still in the natural sense. Until we're born again, we don't really have a spiritual life. And so if he's given us all things that pertain to our spiritual life, we looked at some of the things he'd given us. One of them being the most important was the Holy Spirit. And we looked at some scriptures that Jesus once again in the Gospel of John told us about. He would not leave his disciples comfortless, but would send them a comforter, the Holy Spirit. He said that he dwells with them, but shall be in them. And from that step, we see where the disciples are born again. Jesus made that statement in the upper room because he had already completed the work of the cross. He was raised from the dead, and he had the authority, if you will, to do just like he said. The word says that he breathed on him and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit." Just like going back to Genesis, where God breathed the breath of life and man became a living soul. Jesus breathed the breath of life and man became a spiritual soul, if you will. And now I'd like to talk about eternal life, because that's the third aspect of life that God has provided. And I don't have a lot of scriptures. I could have just put dozens of them. Jesus talked about believing in him and you would have eternal life. And of course, John 3:16 was top of the list. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." If you just think about those three words, well, it's more than three words, but "for God so loved the world," even in all of its, I want to say, sin and falling away from God, having not much to do with him, even in man's fallen state, God so loved. But make that personal. "For God so loved you." "For God so loved me. Even in my hippy-dippy-dope days, he still loved me. I didn't even know who he was, but he still loved me. And even whatever you were doing in your life before Christ, he so loved you that he was willing to show you how much he loved you. That he gave his only begotten son." That's the price. "You're the pearl of great price that the merchant, the rich merchant man, was looking for all over the world. And he was willing to pay everything, whatever he had in his estate or his mansion or his dominion or his realm, whatever he had, he was willing to put it all on the line to pay for you. That's how much you're worth to him. And maybe people don't treat you with that kind of worth and honor and respect, but as we grow together in Christ, that is a wonderful revelation, and it's a truth, and it shows how much, when Jesus said that we're to love others as he loved us. And that's the standard of love, that same giving, that same sacrificial love, because sometimes you don't feel like it. But feelings shouldn't stop us from loving as he loved. We don't have to love what someone does, but we have to love the person. It's a commandment, because he called it a commandment. The second commandment is like unto this. But God demonstrated that in his love for us. He showed us at the cross that whosoever believeth in him, believe is an interesting word. It means to trust in, to rely on, to depend on completely. That takes believing to quite a different level, doesn't it? Because it's easy for us to just say, oh, I believe that. But do you totally depend on what you say you believe? And in Christ, that's really, really important. Sometimes people will say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. I believe he existed. But do they believe that he loved them? Because a lot of times it's easy to believe that he loves somebody else, but to make that personal, but he loves you as an individual. And that whosoever believes in him should not perish. Sometimes I don't make a veggie omelet for a week and I have all the ingredients for my, I like to put Indian spices and curry powder and cayenne pepper and all that stuff in them. But if I don't eat up the veggies in the veggie tray, they perish. Well, God didn't call anyone to perish. That wasn't his will. It's never been his will. He wills that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And I believe, that's not on my list, but it's one that just came to me. But for our personal reference, I believe you'll find that in 1 Timothy. Oh, imagine that, right in chapter 2. Starting in verse 1, 1 Timothy chapter 2, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. If God didn't want us to pray for all, not just the ones on our favorite list, but for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So don't buy that predestination lie that some people God destines to go to hell and some people he destines or predetermines to save. That conflicts with the scripture. He wills that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. But the fact is God does know who will and who won't. But he didn't predetermine that certain people were born to go to hell. I would never believe that lie. But you know that doctrine is very deadly. I've actually had just recently someone text me. They're attending a place that teaches that doctrine. And I wanted to say, you need to run as fast as your feet can, move your butt out of that place. Don't ever sit there. How do you know? How do you know you might be one of the ones he predetermined to go to hell? You can go through all the motions, but uh-oh, what if you're on the hit list? See, I have to talk about stuff like that, because that stuff is around us. People that we know are caught up in stuff like that. How do you bring them back? You bring them to scriptures like this. We're talking about eternal life now. God never designed us to be temporary. We're temporary as far as the eternity of time, you know, in our physical life. But spiritually, we're born again to live for all eternity. Even when the earth suit goes back to the dust of the earth, whether we're buried or burned, it doesn't matter. It's the spirit man that counts. That's the real you in the earth suit. We all know that our bodies go back to the earth. We're like a seed that's sown to give birth to eternity, to eternal life. It's the spirit man, and that's you. And God wills that all men be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. If you read all the scriptures about the book of life, and this, once again, I call it a Rick thought because I've read where the term being that your name be not blotted out of the book of life. I believe that by faith, every human being's name is in that book of life. But if you don't come to Christ, then your name is blotted out. And on judgment day, the non-believers stand at the white throne judgment of God. We go before the judgment seat of Christ. But the white throne, where there's judgment there, it's because that person's name was blotted out of the book of life. And they stand lost before the Lord to give an account. So I just believe in the book of life that those people who are born again are in that book of life. But if you're not, how does your name get blotted out? Did you take an eraser and disagree with God and say, oh, I don't want to be in your kingdom? And there's a lot of things that have to do with eternal life. But I want to pretty much stay with the scriptures because we won't go wrong in that regard. He will not perish but have everlasting life. See, my veggies perish if I don't take advantage of using them as ingredients. Jesus said in John chapter 6, verses 47 through 51, and listen to these words very carefully. This is the portion of Scripture where many, even some of his followers, turned away from him because they thought he was teaching on cannibalism, because they didn't understand by the Spirit yet. He said, verily, verily, oh, I'll wait till you get there because we don't have someone can put those up on the board today. It's good to see them. Gospel of John, starting in verse 47, verily, verily. I love those words because Jesus used those words quite often. Those words mean that there is no purer form of truth than the words that are about to come out of his mouth. After those words, verily, verily, I say unto you, not me, not the church down the road, not the neighbor across the street, not the cows in the pasture, not the eagles in the sky, but he said, I say unto you, this is Jesus speaking, he that believes on me has everlasting life. And did you notice it doesn't say that he might have? It doesn't say if he got a gold star in Sunday school class last week or someone prophesied very well in the service last week. None of those things, those are fruit based on salvation, but they're not qualifications for it. Not believing is what condemns people. He that believeth on me has, that means you already have it now. See, Peter said God has given us all things that pertain to life. That means we have it. It's available for those who haven't, but it's available for them so that they can. And he said, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. Now, this is in a dissertation with Jesus about manna. And he talked about how in the wilderness they murmured and complained and they got tired of manna and wanted meat, so God sent quail and, you know, his provision was there for them. But they murmured and complained and they weren't happy with what they got. And yet God sustained them for 40 years with manna that they could have fresh every day. Except the day they had to make a double portion because of the Sabbath, so they had even manna for that day as well. Full provision. But they still died. The reason they died was because that bread wasn't for eternal life. that was to sustain them until they entered the promised land and until the time of Christ when he came and he offered eternal life. That was God's plan of salvation, but he kept them and they had the opportunity to participate. And but he said that he is the manna from heaven. If you sustain yourself just on natural food, that won't get it. There needs to be something more in the life of a person to have eternal life. You must feed on him. He's the bread of life. And that's why I really like the communion table, because it's a remembrance of when he's the bread that was broken for us. Broken means he freely gave his life. And each time we have communion together, we remember. I remember reading in scriptures about that, but when I really remember is after I got saved. I remember when Jesus came into my life and became my Lord and Savior. So my remembrance goes to that. And that's the day that I received eternal life. The same as with you as well. He said, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which came down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Oh my gosh. I heard somebody say the other day, I hope I don't live until I'm 100. I zipped my lip. Didn't want to stir up any trouble. But I thought, you should be planning on living forever if you're saved. Let the earth suit go. Can't take it with us. It's not designed for that. Just like the ark was only there to get them through the flood. It wasn't designed to stay in it. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And in that dissertation, that's where many turned away from him, because he was talking about drinking his blood and eating his flesh. And they didn't understand. He wasn't talking about cannibalism. He was talking about something far deeper and greater than that. And we sit here today already possessing eternal life. It's not something we have to strive after. It's not something that we have to cough up a big amount of gold to go to God and say, I want to buy eternal life. Jesus paid for our eternal life. And I just wanted to keep that ending part simple, because sometimes it's nice to look at a lot of scriptures, but the ones that really stand out, the ones we're most familiar with, those are scriptures to stand on when it seems like everything can be falling apart in a person's life. But don't lose track of the hope that's laid up for you. Paul talked about the hope which is laid up for us in heaven. We've got to be thinking about our eternal home. And when we sang All for Jesus today, I thought of Matt. That was one of Matt's favorite songs that we did as a series of songs, and then Karen for years, and how that song was so special to them. And then Matt went on to glory, and one of his sayings was, "Where have you been?" And I just can hear him the day that some of us that are here show up in that circle that knew Matt. I can just hear those words, "Where have you been?" Because we can think like that, because our life is eternal in Christ. And all the people that you knew, all the precious brothers and sisters that paved the way before us. Look at all the people that lived in Bible times that were believers and went to glory already. They have their new spiritual bodies, and they're there. And all the people we read about in the scriptures by name, we'll get to meet them one day. You talked about what's heaven going to be like. You know, this is how we get there. This is the most important, not the fact that we will be, but this is how. What a wonderful plan of salvation. And you know, and just before Christmas is coming. This came at a really good time. I didn't plan on it, thinking about days on the calendar. But I've pondered a lot about Peter's revelations. He had for a fisherman. And then you talked about the coin in the fish's mouth. Do you know how much faith that takes to go and believe that? How many fish are in the Sea of Galilee? I mean, we fish that lake every day and we use nets to haul in the catch. How do I know which one's going to have the coin? But by faith. God made sure he got the right one. And God made sure he got the right one when he got you. There's no mistake. You have eternal life. What's that? Three times? No, he didn't. Which one, Lord? And how much will the coin be worth? He didn't ask any of those things. So anyway, I'm going to end that on that good note, because there's another part of that scripture that we're going to be looking at. If you read it again, it says that God has, past tense, given us all things that pertain to life, but he didn't stop there. He said, and godliness. So think about the word godly and godliness during the week, because God has given us all things that pertain to godliness, godlikeness. So we're going to look together. I'll bring some scriptures so that we can reinforce that. It's not something that you have to work at. I remember often saying, why do you try to be so hard to be something that you already are? Do you know how many people get burned out and so bummed out and discouraged, and they lose their joy, they lose their hope? That's like trying to work for something. And it's a never-ending treadmill. You'd be like a little hamster on a wheel. Till I run out of breath. Just be who God says you already are. And you will find it's a wonderful place to be, because you'll be so settled in your spirit. You won't be like Duncan Yo-Yo, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. One day high, one day low, somewhere in between, because your faith is fixed on a solid foundation of Jesus Christ. And I like to remind us all that, because we're living in some tumultuous times, and the foundations of this earth are shaken, are being shaken, and will continue to be shaken, but you shall not be shaken. You're standing on the rock that don't roll. Anybody need prayer this morning? Actually, it still is morning. Wow, how did I do that?